Hi there. I'm Mark Koda, the owner of Your Social Chef, a restaurant marketing agency. And on this online prosperity show, I talk about several topics. Well, mainly a big one is objectives. How do you set objectives to your marketing, advertising campaigns for your restaurant? And we also touch on a zoomed out version of that in terms of high level, how do you look at your objectives, and low level in terms of the practicalities and how do you achieve that in a practical plan. We also talk about some life lessons, some long life lessons and journeys, which I believe you would find very valuable to your personal experience and to your personal journey in this life. Thank you.
Now, welcome to the Online Prosperity Show, and I'm your host, Prosper Tarolinga. And today, we have a special guest, Mark. Mark, how you doing, my man?
I'm pretty good, Prosper. Thank you for having me.
Fantastic. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Mark has been a collaborative ally with the restaurant's brands since 2009. He's going to be telling us all about that and what that entails. And what he specifically does is help restaurants achieve that harmonious balance between their business and marketing goals. He's got quite an interesting, fact to share about his own personal journey, about how he lost 40 kilos within 9 months while just sitting on his computer desk. So Mark is probably going to be telling us how he did it. And hopefully by the end of this show, we would have also lost a bit of weight, that we can attribute to what he says. But I digress. Right, he will be letting us know all of that, by himself. He will also share with us memories, of him traveling to Italy, and he was documenting a story about pizza across the whole country and everything else. But I could go on and on. Mark, you're the one that experienced all of these things. You're the one that, has all these stories to tell. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved, in the restaurant marketing business.
I think thank you for having me, and I really enjoy talking about this experience, because I know sometimes someone that's going through a similar journey or a similar experience, they can pick up some things, even if you pick up one thing out of this today that might provide value to you or your business or your life, whoever might be listening to this. It brings fulfillment to me and to my life, because I feel like we're providing value and we're not just wasting time, So how and why you're a social chef and why restaurants? I guess it's all about the journey that you go through and it takes you to places. I originally came to Australia and started working in convenience store businesses. And during that time, a lot of people said to me, a lot of customers said to me, you should coach people how to run their business or how to market their business. You're really good at it and stuff like that. And, a lot of people hear that at the kitchen table when their mom or their wife or their sister-in-law make them stuff, and they say, oh, you should open up a cafe. You're so good at that. And so we all get similar comments. I actually took those comments seriously, and I started something on the side of the convenience store business, and it was kind of a digital marketing agency in the early days of Facebook. Instagram wasn't out there yet. And I started doing some stuff with Facebook, not only with my businesses, but also with other people's businesses, and we started getting some results. And then I had this light bulb moment. I'm like, maybe this is me to connect with my childhood interests of internet and technology, and social was coming to that surface. And then I started looking into it, testing and doing stuff more with my businesses, the ones that I've owned over the years, and I've started getting some really good results. And that's when I took that decision, saying, well, I gotta find a way to take this agency or this digital work into a full-time career. And that's when I took the full-time approach. Yes, I started that journey back 2009, where Facebook kind of started showing up in the surface in Australia. And 2012, 2013 is when I took that full-time. The first 2 years was really, really tough for me to get clients, to let people know about, you know, because, yeah, it was easy to get a customer come in and try your Portuguese tart or your donuts, or, you know, it's so easy to do that because there's a lot of them. But when you're trying to teach people or business owners about social media, when social media just started and nobody knew, they didn't even know what internet is like, how do you even use internet for local business? And then you had to talk about social media, that nobody really got it at that time. So it took me 2 years to build portfolio of a variety of customers and clients. Then I ended up looking at my list and seeing, oh, the most of my clients on the list was cafes and restaurants. And that's in 2015, I made the decision to rebrand and just focus 100% on restaurants and cafes. And that's when the market started to mature a little bit. I started understanding what social media is. Cafes and restaurants started to understand, well, we're going to be on social media now. And I've rebranded at that same time, and I've achieved this like instant breakthrough as soon as I rebranded. And that was like, you know, my journey started with seriously now with restaurants and cafes and understanding all that. Let's take a step back. How did I succeed into going into business, rebranding, building the agency? Not because, oh, I knew how to post on social media or how to run ads on social media. I understood what the business owner wanted out of this. They didn't really want engagement on social media. They didn't really want impressions or clicks or likes or comments or shares. They didn't really need or want any of that. That's not what they really wanted or what they really needed. Yes, they sit and talk. Sometimes people don't understand this. And they say, well, my engagement is dead and I'm, or whatever. Like, dude, what do you want out of this? What do you really want out of this? Because I already know what they want. I just got to get them to say what they want. And, well, I want engagement. Why do you want engagement? Oh, well, so I can get sales. Okay, sweet. So let's focus on that. We need to get sales. And then, because I, back then, when I ran my businesses, I wanted sales, I wanted profits, I wanted to grow my business. I was flipping businesses, like I would engage, improve the business, sell it, going into another one, improve it, sell it. And I knew what I wanted. I wanted to buy low, increase the sales, increase the profits, streamline the business, sell the business, to go do it again. Like I knew because I was there and I knew what they want. So that's how I kind of grew the agency, because I gave them what they really want out of this engagement. Then over time, I've learned more about marketing and advertising, and the science of advertising, the science of how to make advertising work better, how the difference between short-term and long-term, and how to do all of that. And still today, we have the same conversation that I used to have with people back in 2013. I want engagement. Why do you want engagement? I want sale. Every single time. Today, we're in 2023. It's this exact same conversation. When we get someone on a Zoom call or a strategy session or a consultation, they're not happy with their engagement. Why are you not happy with it? I want sales. We knew how to do that now. We know what they want. We know the science behind it. Yeah, sure. Every business have its own challenges, because sometimes as a business owner, you go in and probably this is your first experience into opening up a restaurant, and you create that massive mess. And then you think, oh, the answer is marketing, or the answer is social media, or the answer is bringing this in brand new, French toast or something that's going to drive your business to the moon. It's not that. It's just a combination of things. Combination of how do you do things in the kitchen? How do you do things with customers? How do you put menus together? How do you price your menu? How do you deal with your staff? How do you deal with your providers? How do you deal with family at home? How do you deal with your own finances? How do you deal with your own personal goals and professional goals? How do you communicate with your marketing agencies? How do you even understand your business? It's a combination of all of those things. Sometimes they hire an influencer to post their business on their Instagram account or TikTok account. They're thinking this is the answer to all their problems. Or they hire a marketing agency, say, hey, I want you to improve my engagement. And they think this is the answer to all their problems. If you take someone experienced in this universe, the marketing isn't the answer to all your problems. You have a variety of problems. They sit into departments and categories, and you got to understand those. And it's okay. You don't need to understand everything right now. And you don't need to get overwhelmed right now. Just understand one thing at a time, take a note of it, say, okay, I'm aware of this now. I'm aware I'm not good enough with my staff, or I'm not good enough with my kids at home, and it's causing me anger. And this anger, I'm transmitting this into my business, and I can't see clearly through my business because my relationship at home is not that great, and it's affecting that. Or I'm not good with my finances, right? I'm not consistent enough. So it's okay. You can put this on paper and understand better yourself. Once you understand yourself and your problems, you can take that back and start working on it a little bit at a time, one step at a time. Even if it takes time, you're already a million times better than someone swimming into that daily chaos without doing anything about it, without doing anything about understanding it, and then streamlining or beaming that anger everywhere they go with anything that they touch, with anything that they do. There's a better way of doing this, and it's simple. Sorry, it is simple. Is just put it on paper, work on it, even if it takes time. This is the wisdom that we learn over time, you know. This is the wisdom that you can implement in your life and in your business. And you start seeing magic happening, not because it's a fairy tale. It's because you're doing the hard things. You're doing the hard things at one step at a time. And that's, you know, I know we took this conversation a little bit outside of marketing because I'm known. I don't believe in fairy tales, and I don't believe in the hammer is the solution to every problem. So it's a holistic approach about everything. That's how you're going to take business. That's how you're going to take your problems. And that's how you start finding better solutions for your problems. I hope that made sense. We haven't spoken about the weight loss yet, but I'll stop here and see if you got any questions, any comments of your own, Prosper.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we could actually just end this show right now, because the best part about how you went through this journey that was remarkable was the fact that, you know, when you started with the restaurants, okay, they didn't know what to expect of the internet. And I remember when I also started with marketing, there was, you know, tools like Zomato or Urban Spoon, and their competitors were just using those particular platforms to just leave reviews and testimonials that were fake and false. So people had no trust, of the internet, and it was so brave for you to literally take them through that sort of journey. And now you're combining business and marketing together. Now you brand yourself as a collaborative ally, you know, with these restaurant brands. Can you just explain how you actually help businesses achieve this harmonious, you know, duet or partnership between their actual business and marketing goals? And what sort of strategies and techniques do you employ to create, you know, tangible results for your clients?
Yes, very, very good question. So now let's talk about we spoke about the holistic view and the kind of the big image before. Now let's dive into some of the details and practicalities. If a restaurant come on board and says, well, you know what, we're doing well, but we want to go to the next level, Okay, the next level is, let's define that next level. How do you interpret that next level? Put it in paper, in numbers. So, well, we're making 50K a week. I want to make 70K a week. Okay, so that's your next level. What are we doing right now? And then we might write this down on paper. We're doing some basic social media. Most of our business is organic. Maybe we send some emails out, but we're not really doing anything special yet. We kind of know that there is a lot we can do, but we're not really doing it. All right, cool. Well, let's look at some short-term stuff that we can do right now. Let's look at some long-term stuff, like in terms of strategy. In terms of short-term and long-term, the difference between the two is short-term, anything that requires an instant result, that what we consider short-term. And then in terms of long-term, anything that considers generating business 3-6 months from now, that's considered long-term. To give you an example, short-term might be coming up with a new dish, running a long lunch, the Italian long lunch on your Sundays, events, special nights. And it's most of the time, it doesn't require a discount, okay? We're not talking short-term, we're not talking about buy one, get one. We're talking about new dish items, new menus, new events, new special nights, collaboration, infusing products with some other brands in the market. There's a lot that we can consider a short-term campaign. And sometimes we might do two or three, because one of those might produce a breakthrough. But if you do just one idea and that idea flops, you've just wasted time. So it's always good to test two to three things and see what works, what doesn't work. So on top of that, say, okay, cool, this is our short-term strategy. What's our long-term strategy? Long-term strategy is running campaigns that educates people about your business. And we also call them brand response. Brand response is, hey, we're a modern Italian restaurant. This is what we do. This is our products. This is our menu. That would be your modern brand response campaign, that educating people about who you are and what you do, and about your USP or value proposition, okay? Unique selling proposition or value proposition. So that would be one campaign. The other campaign, supporting campaigns to that we do on the side, part of your long-term strategy is educating people about different parts of your menu. Like, hey, this is our burgers menu. This is our mains, this is our desserts. And sometimes we might not do that. What we might do is go to each category on your menu and grab your best sellers, and then we create campaigns for your best sellers from each category of your menu. So now we have short-term campaigns generating instant results. We also have educational brand response campaigns. Say, hey, this is who we are. This is what we do. This is our USP. Book now. Obviously, driving with a CTA, what do you want them to do? And then the supporting campaigns about your best-selling items from different categories of the menu is also ends with a CTA, a call to action, book now. Because what behavior you want them to do? So you gotta tell them. And that would run. We will put them out. We'll start running. And then what's our metrics? What's our metrics? Our metrics is our client's post system. That's our metrics. Yeah, sure, we're getting likes and comments, but what we've learned over the time, we can get a lot of likes and a lot of comments, no sales. Or we can get no likes, no comments, a lot of sales. So we shouldn't actually take the engagement of social media as an indication if something is working or it isn't. We as soon as we sign up a client, we get access to their post system, and we start looking and analyzing. We don't analyze this week versus last week or this month versus last month. We do this quarter versus a quarter of the year before, matching quarters, matching months, year to year, quarters to quarters, but has to be this year versus last year. And that's how we start seeing, oh yeah, things are working. Sometimes things doesn't work at all. We could do all of this stuff and it doesn't work. Why? Sometimes the client has already dominated his market. You're already dominating your market. You hit a plateau. The only way to achieve a breakthrough is either open up another location, enter a new market, do if you want to create a campaign, it needs to be like a hell of a big idea campaign that you force people that go to your competitors to come to you, not because of that, oh, this is who you are, well, this is what you do. Well, you've been telling them this and they're not coming. So it's not really breaking through. You already dominated the market that you can dominate, and there is people, they just want to go to your competition. They don't care about who you are, what you do. They're not interested. So then that's when you go, okay, well, if we're going to force them, we're going to go maybe offer a trip to Italy. I don't know, like go something crazy. Come dine here, order from us. And in the next 3 months, we're going to pick a family that's going to go full on 1 week getaway to Italy. We're going to cover everything. That's now that you're forcing that market to come to you. And again, you're not providing a discount. Have you noticed? We haven't spoken about discounts yet. And that's one way of breaking through a stubborn market when you're already dominating your market and you're just trying to steal people now. Other than that, you just got to think beyond that one shop is opening up new locations or maybe branching out into catering or something like that. Otherwise, you're just going to be beating on the same kind of music sheet and you're expecting new music.
Absolutely. I think it was Einstein that say that insanity is when you try and do the same thing and expect different results.
Yeah.
Look, you know,
I have a music sheet right here. And you're looking at that music sheet, you've got your piano set, and you're like, gee, man, I keep playing this music, but I'm not getting new music. Well, maybe because you need to change that music sheet.
Change the music.
And go to a new market, and then you start getting new results. Because you already tried your strategies, tried different strategies. This is the market that you're trying stuff with, and you're still getting the same results. So if that's the case, you either need to change the market, expand your market, or introduce new services that goes beyond your current services. Because sometimes, okay, you try new products, you try new offers, new discounts, and new short-term campaigns, long-term campaigns, and your business still doesn't budge, still doesn't go above what you're already doing. If the business isn't doing well, isn't breaking even, and you try to do marketing, now marketing needs to work a lot harder. You're not talking about going the next level anymore. You're saying, I need to break even, make profit, and go to the next level. So now you're asking a lot more from your marketing. And if that's the case, you're already in trouble, because marketing is going to be very expensive to help you like hit break even, make profit, and go to the next level is going to be very expensive. You need to be prepared for that. Otherwise, you've got money and you want to try that, try it. Sure. If it doesn't work, you might need to step back, look at your concept, your whole business model. Do you need to move it somewhere else, or do you need to change your model, change your business model, or change your concept or something from, I don't know, from American barbecue to Italian, or change the location? If you tried everything and something isn't working, yes, it's an expensive exercise, but unfortunately, that's how this business works. So you gotta have money and you gotta be able to do this sort of stuff when you need to. I hope that answered the question.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. I'm loving this. We should have actually asked you to come in for a webinar, because I bet everyone is just taking a lot of notes for this. But Obviously, that's something else for another day. Now, I really love how you've gone into depth with, the strategies that you take, you know, the long term, the short term, and how you are, you know, looking at different sort of campaigns, you know, your educational ones, your brand response, and some other supporting campaigns that you work with your clients. And the fact that you literally do not look at the likes, because likes do not, pay the bills or things of that nature. And you literally looking at the point of sale where somebody's actually making that purchase. Now, this might really be well and truly good for somebody who's got a team, somebody who's got the expertise that you have, and has done the job and the work that you have done and knows exactly what to look for. But, you know, with restaurants, especially the ones that we come across, it's usually maybe a one-man shop. They probably have two to three three other locations in different suburbs or neighborhoods, they don't quite have that meticulous, outlook of what does this plate represent in terms of our bottom line and things of that nature. Now, in your opinion, what should just be the primary objective of maybe a marketing campaign for a restaurant business? And how does this sort of objective tie in with driving business results and achieving tangible outcomes?
Let's see if I understood the question properly.
Yeah.
You're asking is,
what's the simplest marketing strategy that you can give to a restaurant?
I would, if they're not doing any marketing at all, I would say, well, start with an object, with an OKR method. It's a goal setting method. It's called OKR. O is the objective. KR is key result. What is your objective first? Well, I want to kind of go from 50 to 60K a week. Okay. Key result. What needs to happen to achieve that main objective? I need to set up a new website, marketing campaigns. You just need to set a bunch of key results that all contributes toward that main objective. Let's simplify this. Do you have a website? No. Okay. Key result one, set up a website. Key result two, do you have any marketing? Are you doing any marketing at all? No, I'm not doing any marketing. Okay. A key result to activate a marketing campaign that educates people about our offering. Just maybe just one campaign, just to keep it nice and simple for now. Key result three, what? Do you have a booking system, digital booking system? No. Okay. Set up an online booking system, hook it to your website, include it with your email marketing campaigns, digital campaigns, your marketing. Do you have online ordering system? No. Key result four. And you just keep adding those key results one by one, that all of this stuff needs to contribute toward your main objective. I need to reach move from 50K a week to 70K a week. And these are the key results that needs to happen to achieve that big objective. Okay. Right. And then you need to set this up. Usually what they say with OKR methods, they need to work or run on quarter by quarter. So that would be like the next time you look at it and you analyze your results is by the next quarter. Say, okay, what's happening here? What did I do? Did I build the website yet? Did I have an online ordering? Yes. Online booking? Yes. Did I create a digital marketing campaign? That's brand response campaign, telling people this is who we are, this is what we do. Yes. Cool, beautiful. Now what you look at your sales, say you move from 50 to 60. Now you still got to move from 60 to 70 K a week. Then you go back and say, okay, what else can I do? Maybe I need to create more campaigns. Maybe I need to create some short-term campaigns about new products and new events and this. And you start building that stack, yeah, over time, and you run it for another quarter. And you go back and you see, oh, look, we're moving the needle. We're moving the needle. That's great. But you got to keep in your mind that you're going to hit a plateau with that business. This business is one location, isn't going to go infinite. Like it's just going to keep going up and up and up. You have a market, and that market is going to, you're just going to cover that market, and that's it. Game over. You got to think beyond that location now. And that's how McDonald's think. That's how all those big corporations think. If one location would give them infinite growth, there will be just one McDonald's, dude. The first one. You know, go watch the founder movie. There was one McDonald's. And to achieve growth, you gotta go beyond that. You gotta get your mindset beyond that one location and expecting infinite growth from that one location. You gotta go log beyond that. So that's how I would go about this.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for giving us all that elaborate information. Now, while you were talking, I think it was your second iteration, you did mention that a restaurant might differentiate themselves by maybe offering a trip to Italy or something unique that actually positions themselves within, that community or things of that nature. Now, while I was researching stuff about you, I actually noticed you had a memorable trip that you took to Italy, where you were documenting a story of pizza across the country. Now, could you share some of your highlights that you had on that trip and how it actually influenced your perspective on the restaurant industry?
Oh, yes. This is one of the most memorable trips I've ever done with a client of ours and a friend of mine, very close friend, Johnny DeFrancisco, the director of 400 Gradi in Australia. The decision was made by a party in Italy that and at that time that Johnny obviously was selected to go as part of that trip because he was obviously one of the main characters of this whole trip, and Johnny asked me to join him. One is to get a closer look at the Italian culture, to truly understand what, you know, the Italian cuisine, the Italians and their connection, their authentic connection to pizza and how passionate they are about their food. And so when we went there, I saw all of that. I saw how passionate they are about their pizza. Different regions have different perspectives and values and what would represent the perfect pizza. You know, you'd go to one region and it's all about the dough, and another region it's all about the tomato, and in another region it's all about the cheese or the combination of all of that. But they all have their own kind of formula. Every region have their own formula, and sometimes every restaurant have, or every chef will have their own kind of formula behind what represents the perfect pizza, you know? And I saw all of that. I saw all of that. And obviously I had some amazing pizza over in Italy, and I had an amazing time with Johnny and friends in Italy. When I came back, I've kind of built this a new appreciation to the details of something that we consider so simple here. It's a lot more deep and complex in its motherland, Italy, and that's pizza, you know? So the only way to kind of understand what I'm talking about, you gotta go to Italy, visit different regions, talk about pizza, talk about with different people, Italians, not tourists. And you'll understand how much it means to people over there, you know, and then when you come back, you'll get a new appreciation grow within you, and you'll enjoy pizza a lot more, Italian food a lot more than before.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Absolutely. Now, Mark, if somebody's, you know, sitting in the audience right now and they're watching and enjoying this show, and they're really wanting to find out a little bit more about, you know, what it is that you do and how you can help them, especially if they are a multi-site restaurant, what would be the best way for people to get a hold of you?
They can head over to yoursocialchef.com, lodge a contact form or a strategy session, and then they'll get a spot with us. We can talk to them, consult with them, strategize, and see if we can help them. You know, one thing that obviously I try to mention several times over any interview or discussion is, we don't know what works for you. We really don't know what works for you. We gotta go in it together as a team and find what works for your business together. You know, don't expect, this agency have some really good ratings and they're everywhere and I want to work with them, sure. But they really don't know what works for you yet. The attitude is, you go in and you find what works for you together. And that's how you can make some magic happens. Come in with that attitude and we will find something that works for your business.
Absolutely.
And I like that because obviously every restaurant is different. Every cuisine is totally different. And like you have elaborated, especially with pizza, you know, I was just thinking of pizza with a pineapple, but now I know you'd be like, nah, you shouldn't put a pineapple on a pizza. Now, based on your experience and the fact that you are upfront with your clients to say, we don't know what works for you, what are some common mistakes or misconceptions that restaurant businesses make when it comes to maybe setting and pursuing their marketing objectives? And how can they actually avoid these pitfalls and improve their chances of success?
Pitfalls. Don't ever, ever, ever give 100% trust with your marketing agency. Don't give them total autonomous, go and do whatever you, autonomy, like to do whatever. Like, don't just give them that 100% autonomy or something. Don't do that. Don't give them 100% control. They don't really understand your business. You're the one, your business is a mold of you. Is a result of your vision, your experience, your journey, and get involved with them. Meet them halfway, 50-50, because then you're creating a combined recipe between your marketing agency and yourself,
right?
And you're most likely gonna, you know, you're gonna find what's gonna work for you. So that's kind of the big one. Don't just expect 100% autonomy from your marketing agency, and you want them to automate everything for you, and you don't want to have anything to do with it. So that's like the big one, big one. Two is get out of instant. I want growth now. I want next level now. Don't think like that, because when you start thinking like that, you start implementing strategies that are designed to destroy your business in the long run. Yes, sure. You force your agency to do 1, 2, 3 because you want to see something like right now. And then a year from now, you're no longer working with that agency anymore. You no longer trust any other agencies. You're no longer achieving any other goals, and your business has gone backward. Don't do that. Don't do that stuff. Three has nothing really to do with marketing or business. It's just like life lesson. Just be honest with yourself. Because the more you lie to yourself, between you and yourself, you're not going to be able to communicate effectively with anybody, let alone talking to your marketing agency or your team or people at home or people that you meet or with your customers. For as long as you continue lying to yourself, you can't be honest with yourself about what the real problem is that you're experiencing, and you're just looking at Band-Aids and Panadol, no marketing agency going to ever be able to help you. So that's a big pitfall too. Be honest with yourself, what the real problem is, work on those problems, engage the marketing agency, be honest with them, work with them. And then you're more likely to achieve results beyond what you've ever imagined. So tick off those three boxes and you'll be on the right track.
Fantastic. Obviously, it is a journey that we all go into. And the more we self-discover ourselves, the more we'll be able to pass on that as a gift to the people that we're serving. Because the people that are coming are specifically coming for the experience that they can have while they're sitting, you know, in the chairs that we are, you know, serving them out there. Now, when you started, obviously, you know, as we wind down, you know, this show, when you started, things were at a place where people were not really trusting with social media. And now we've had so much coming up, and now there's podcasts. And, you know, as a restaurant, some people will be like, wait a minute, why would I want to start a podcast for a restaurant? And that could be yet another channel that, you know, a restaurant could actually use to generate, you know, that know, like, and trust about their, you know, cuisine and things of that nature, because they could just teach people what it is that they're doing without necessarily just talking about the plates that they're serving people. Now, in this sort of rapidly evolving landscape, you know, with all this digital technology, as soon as we leave this, ChatGPT has probably changed the algorithm. I don't know what it's doing right now. What sort of emerging trends or strategies do you believe restaurants, businesses should be maybe aware of and sort of incorporate in their marketing objectives, and how can they actually stay ahead of the competition in this dynamic industry?
I've been receiving a lot of questions about ChatGPT. A lot of restaurants is asking, what can I do with ChatGPT right now? Because they're seeing that a lot on pretty much everywhere. At this very moment of time, we haven't really seen any development with restaurant tools that's using ChatGPT as yet. It's not out there yet. Yes, you can go to ChatGPT and work with it to generate your training material, menu, write your menu, write some emails to your team, get some ideas about menu items. How would you word something, or even like gluten-free menu ideas? Just the whatever parameters that you use it, you can get a lot of stuff like that. It'll probably improve your productivity internally. ChatGPT to use for internal use, like for this sort of stuff, amazing. You can get a lot done with it. Now they've just introduced something, internet browsing. So inside ChatGPT 4, if you have the premium subscription, you can use ChatGPT 4 browsing. Browsing means the tool will actually access the internet. So you can ask it some things about, hey, what kind of food is trending now in Melbourne or in the restaurant industry, even globally or locally. You just gotta feed it that parameters, and it'll look up and see if there is anything out there that you need to pay attention to. So you could use it that way, but I have not seen anything that you could just hook up to your booking system or to your ordering system that's using ChatGPT. I'm pretty sure big companies, it's already on their list, but because they're big companies, they're slow to move. We will see something in the next few months, but I have not seen anything as yet. Some other companies, what I've seen them do is they're loading their FAQs and details about their businesses into a ChatGPT bot that sits on your website. So when someone visits your restaurant website, they can talk to that bot about, hey, how do I book? What's your menu like? Is it gluten-free? What's your items? Blah, blah, blah. I've tried to test some of it, and unfortunately, ChatGPT can't read beyond two pages at a time if you're loading PDFs as yet. So that's the other limitation, because if you have sometimes the menu is a two-page menu, and then you've got other details trying to elaborate on that menu and your services and your products and operating hours and FAQs, it can't comprehend all of that as yet and to provide insightful responses every single time. It is there. Keep an eye on it. That's the trend. Everybody is like trying to see, how can I integrate ChatGPT? Just keep an eye out, and I'm sure we're going to start seeing a lot of that stuff. I would love to see a chatbot where you could say, hey man, I'm trying to book something for next Thursday for 10 people. What's the go? Like, I just talk to the website and it will just try to book you in without you having to go through a whole steps of click, click, click. You know, it's just a lot more personable, and it might remember you the next time that you visit it. Say, oh, hey, Mark, how did you go last time? Oh, yeah, I enjoyed it. Would you like to book another session? Yeah, sure. You know, like that would be amazing to start seeing.
Absolutely. Well, you know what has been amazing? Having you on the show today. That has been amazing. Now, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you, Pasqua.
I can't thank you enough for all the information that you've given us and being with us on the show today. And that, ladies and gentlemen, concludes our insightful conversation with Mark Koda on the Online Prosperity Show. And we've gained valuable knowledge about the intricacies of restaurant marketing and the importance of aligning your business and marketing goals. And as you have noticed, Mark's personal journey has brought significant you know, insight as to how you can actually do this. I'll be putting in all his information so that you can connect with Mark. Now, we could go on and on, talk about everything else that's coming up and everything else. We sincerely thank you for sharing your expertise and wish you all, you know, the latest success in whatever technology that comes in and you get on top of it. Okay, so stay tuned for more inspiring conversations on the Online Prosperity Show. This has been Prosper. Thank you so much for joining us today. Bye for now.